I hope you have come for a couple of reasons today. Number one, you've come to worship Jesus, obviously. That's what we're here for. You've come to show love to one another. We need each other. We need the family of God. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not to walk through this earth alone. We are here to be with each other, showing love of Christ to one another. Number three, I hope you have come today to hear the Word of God. So please look in Genesis chapter 2 with me, the very first book of the Bible, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25. People have asked me, well, Pastor Phil, how are you going to handle this issue or that issue? You know, living right side up in an upside down world can be really complicated and controversial, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? And I have this peace in my heart. I'm just going to share what God says. Amen. And then I'm not going to worry about what the rest of the world thinks about that. I'm just going to say, well, this is what the Bible says, and we'll just kind of start with that as a church. And if we can figure that out and walk with His Word, then we'll find the light, because the Word of God is the light to the path. So please stand with me as we read chapter 2, verse 18 through 25 of Genesis. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife. They should become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Father in heaven, we believe in your word. This is not a fable. This is not a legend. This is not a myth. This is the word of God telling us your heart, your plan for mankind. So, Lord God, may we be good listeners to your spirit, for the spirit of God is the author of the word of God. So we rely heavily on your spirit to teach us, to open our eyes. If there are areas of belief that have gone sideways and upside down in our hearts and minds, would you turn us right side up today? Lord God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. One of the pastors that I greatly respect down in the San Diego area is David Jeremiah, and he has been faithful to God's word for many years. And in one of his books that I've been reading, he says this as a definition of marriage: one man, follow this with me please, one woman united spiritually, emotionally, physically, publicly, and legally in a lifetime bond of loyal love for procreation, channeling sexual and emotional energy, and serving as a civilizing and stabilizing factor in society. I know those are a lot of words, but just think with me for a moment. Okay, God created mankind. He could have created multiple humans, just humans, let there be humans, and then just let sexual relationships happen. But that's not what he did. He created a man, he created a woman, and he said, "This is my will." He had a very intentional, clear plan. And when things get messed up, as some of us as men were putting something together that came in a box that my dear wife bought, and as I lay out all the pieces all over the garage floor and try to figure out how they all go together, and I'm trying my best to read the directions that are in five languages, and I feel so proud of myself at the end. And then I notice there's some pieces left over. How many of you are with me on this, okay? I have to go back to the directions and figure out, somehow I went sideways. Somehow I did something on my own. I thought I knew how to do this particular step of the directions. And so then I do it on my own, and then I find out that I didn't do it right. This is where the Word of God is so important to us. God has a plan. Let's go back to His Word. And so we find that God, in God's plan, He created male and female. This is so important in several categories. Number one, we believe that God is our creator. We are not accidents. We are not just a collision of molecules that happen to show up like this. We have an intelligent designer. So let's look at this creation. The first thing we notice in the Word of God is that we, as men and women, are created with equality. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. There is great distinction between us and animals. If you have bought into a humanistic evolutionary model, you believe that common sense would tell you that animals and humans are very much the same. The Bible tells us that we are very different. Men and women have been created in the image of God, equally in the image of God. Now, what does it mean to have the image of God? First of all, we always start with what it does not mean. It does not mean that we have a physical image that God has. God does not have a physical image. God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. So if it's not a physical image, then what is it? So we go a little deeper into the concept of the word image. We find out that it refers to a spiritual personality and capacity for relationship. That God in the Trinity is relationship. He is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are created in His image. We are created with the capacity for relationship. We have the ability to reason. Animals operate in instinct. They don't think through everything. I should have done this, but Markel sent me a cartoon yesterday. I should have got it on the screen for you. It's the dog having a conversation with the cat. And the dog says to the cat, "You understand why you do not have a leash on. They want you to run away." That was really funny. And so we understand that dogs and cats and other animals, they have instinct. They can figure things out. You know, if I go this direction, I get yelled at. If I go this way, I get a treat. You know, they understand that. But they do not understand reason. They cannot sit down and think through research, figure out generations of mistakes, and figure out a logic of consequence of action. They cannot do that. They have instinct, but they don't have reason. We have reason because we're created in the image of God. We have the ability to know outside of ourselves. So we can not only think about what works for us, but we can see the bigger picture. Animals and dogs do not see the big picture or perspective of what's going on in China and what's going on around the world. They can't do that. They just know what's going on in their circle of life. We have the ability to process right and wrong. God gives us a moral compass within ourselves. That image of God guides us, can guide us. The book of John, chapter 1, talks about there is a light that has been put in every single person. Romans chapter 2 talks about the ability of a conscience in every single person to have an understanding of right and wrong. That comes because we've been stamped with the image of God. We can share in the communicable attributes of God. We have the ability to have wisdom. That comes from Him, not from our own abilities. The ability to love one another, holiness, compassion, goodness, kindness. God's Word tells us, be holy, for I am holy. So He has a plan for His creation, for us to be like Him. He made us in His image. The humanistic evolutionary model we see in the newspaper every day, for those who get a newspaper. And please don't send me emails about this. I'm just telling you what I think about this, okay? I already know some of you don't like this. But it really irritates me when on that one section of the paper that has compassion for animals, which I am 100% into, do not give the headline to that section, pets are people too, okay? Because that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Men and women are created in the image of God. We are not the same. We have similarities because we have a common creator. But they are not created in the image of God. Okay, so let's keep that clear in our minds. But men and women are created with equality. Galatians 3:28 says, there is no male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So when God looks at his church, he doesn't see classifications. He sees equality. We have equal Christian privileges as men and women. Did you know when a man accepts Jesus into his heart, the Spirit of God comes into that man's life? Do you know when a woman commits her life to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into her life equally? Christ dwells in both of us. The Holy Spirit lives in both of us, men and women. We are both equal children of God, John 1:12. We are both joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. We both, men and women, have bold access to the throne of grace. By the way, that is revolutionary with many, many cultures. For many cultures have the idea that men have the access to God or deity, and women do not. Christ is the one who came and said, we have an equality between men and women. Isn't that an amazing truth from Christianity that we need to remember? 1 Peter 3:7 says, they are heirs with you of the grace of life. In the Jewish culture, the firstborn son received the inheritance, and then the others in the family would share a percentage based on the firstborn son's decision. In Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 describes the blessing we have in Christ. Blessed is in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, both men and women. Now, this story about God taking the rib from the man, I believe is a true story. So, I mean, you can debate all you want, but that's where I'm coming from. It is a true story. Why in the world would God do this? God didn't have to do that. God could have done all kinds of things to create a woman, but instead he takes the rib from the man. And I came across this this poem, and it's God's choice of a rib to form Eve, not made out of his head to dominate him, and not made out of his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. And we need to remember that. Now, not only are men and women created with equality, but praise God, we are also created with diversity. Okay, so we are equal, but not identical. We are different, but we complement one another. Now, we all know that men and women are different. Okay, here's something I read in the Reader's Digest. Anyone who says the sexes were created equal hasn't worked in an office with one thermostat. Oh my goodness, how true that is. So now we have the story of Adam, and he is looking at all the animals, and the animals all had partners. Did you know that? The animals all had partners. They all had someone to walk through life together. He saw some similarities with animals with himself because there's a common creator, but he realized that all the animals had partners, and the animals were different than himself. And so what he needed was what the Bible says in Genesis 2:20, for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Now, what does that mean, a helper fit for him? Now, first of all, you always start with what it does not mean, okay? He's not looking for a slave. He's not looking for somebody to do all of his work and wash all of his dishes and so forth. But let's find out what the Bible says about this word helper. It is more than a companion. Now, I want to say that I think friendship is a big part of marriage. You should marry your best friend, okay? That's important. But this word helper is more than just a companion, because I believe animals can be great companions, okay? I mean, a dog is an amazing illustration of the grace of God. Doesn't matter what you do, they'll lick you and they love you. Doesn't matter your good day or bad day, they still lick you and love you. There's a consistency of unconditional grace from a dog. I won't talk about cats, but anyway, animals can be great companions. But they are not in the same category because they do not have the image of God. So what Adam was noticing is he's looking for somebody that has the same image of God imprinted on his life. He wants to walk through life with another person that has the same image of God. He didn't even know what another person would be. He just knew that there was something missing. He wanted someone that had the same communication or form of speech. Now, we don't know for sure the speech in the Garden of Eden. There's some illustration of a serpent talking, but he knew that there was the deepest parts of his heart and life were not able to be communicated. You've heard that funny phrase, and I think, I don't know which movie it was in, you know, you complete me. Okay, you've heard those three words before. What does that mean? It means there's something that is missing or lacking. Maybe you've heard the phrase soulmate. Someone that can understand who you are and walk through life knowing and struggling with the same stuff you're going through. It's a corresponding match. That's the definition of a helper. Not inferior, not a servant. Now, I do believe that we should serve one another, but you don't get married to find a servant, okay? I need somebody to do all my chores, so I'm going to get married. Wrong motivation. That's not going to work. It's not like another animal that he saw in the garden, and not another man like himself. The word helper fit, I need a helper that would be fit for him, is a very positive word. In fact, the word helper is used for God in several passages in the Bible. That God is our very present help, the same exact Hebrew word. So the idea that God saw Adam, a man, and God said, this boy needs help. Amen? How many women agree with me on that one? Is not a negative term, because God is, the same Hebrew word, is a helper to us. The creation story, by the way, if you look closely at the book of Genesis, is told in pairs. Did you know that? The entire story is in pairs. And the pairs are different but similar. Walk with me through the creation story. The heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, morning and evening, day and night, sea and dry land, plants and animals, man and woman. You see how the whole flow of the discourse is all about pairs, but the pairs are similar but different. Now, I believe that God has created us with equality, but he's also created us with diversity. Now, let me just take a squirrel moment for just a second here. Even in the male gender and the female gender, I believe there is some diversity, okay? God has created an individuality in this room. We are all so different. We have some men that are linebackers for the Seahawks that are going to crush the Packers tonight, okay? And then we have some other male gender that love the arts. They love cooking and the amazing chefs and ability to be very creative. And God is the one who creates a diversity even among the gender. We have women that are like Ronda Rousey. Oh, my goodness. If Ronda was coming at me, I'm running. I don't know about you. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about. You need to look it up on Google. And then you have the Princess Kates, you know, of the world, of femininity. And God is the God of diversity, even among the gender. So let's admit there's a diversity within the gender, but there's still gender distinction, okay? So God has created us with diversity. He's also created us for sexual intimacy or oneness. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Genesis 2:24, and they shall become one flesh. The male and the female comes together. This has been repeated by Jesus in Matthew 19. It's been repeated by Paul in Ephesians 5:31, that the reason for coming together is to be one flesh. They were naked, they were not ashamed, verse 25. God's plan is for intimacy, transparency, vulnerability, and this was good. In fact, in the Hebrew, it has the idea of to know one another, and the word know is more than just a physical activity. It is the idea of connection with another person to the deepest level of intimacy. Now, let me approach, when we're talking about living right side up in an upside down world, there are two upside down myths that we have to deal with. When you see upside down thinking, you're going to see one of two things in this area. First of all, you're going to hear a philosophy that is predominant and overwhelming our culture, and that is that all sexual activity is okay. It is normal in the upside down culture to hook up on the first date, to have club sex with somebody they don't even know, with numerous people, and the motivation is to be accepted, maybe for entertainment, self-gratification, meet my needs, curiosity, power, control, bragging rights, same-sex attraction, curiosity that is on the deviant side, adultery, websites that take us to an area that says, basically, it doesn't matter who this other person is, it's all about you and having your needs met. It's very casual, friends with benefits, the consequences are zero, do whatever you want, I'm not hurting anybody, leave me alone. That's what the upside-down culture teaches. Let me make it clear. The Bible prohibits all sexual activity outside of the marriage covenant between one man and one woman. Okay? If you try to find it in the Bible, you're not going to find it. Okay? So now let me try to clarify. Does it mean that there are some stories in the Bible that are upside down? Of course there are. That's one of the reasons why I believe in the Bible, because it gives us what the truth is, and it also tells us when people go upside down. Okay. Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Acts 15, 29, abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, 18, flee from sexual immorality. Ephesians 5, 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, it is God's will that you should avoid sexual immorality. You might ask, well, what is this thing called sexual immorality? Well, it's a Greek word, porneia, and it refers to anything outside of one man, one woman, covenant, commitment, relationship, okay? So you can just put just about anything that our culture is doing in that category of sexual immorality. First upside-down teaching is that anything and everything is okay. The second upside-down myth is that all sexual activity is evil. This has also been taught in cultures in past generations, even in churches. The only purpose is to produce kids, that God is anti-sex, and that angels are so embarrassed they have to look away. And, I mean, that's not the Word of God. The Word of God says He designed it. It is beautiful. It's in the context, though, of a marriage commitment. So God has created us, male and female. Let me tell you what second point is that God's plan, God has a plan, and I know you need to believe this, is good. God has a very good plan. He cares about us. Jeremiah 29, 11. Do you know his rules are for our benefit? His guidance is for our health. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants to give us good gifts, okay? David Platt in his book Counterculture says, God's design for marriage is far more breathtaking and much more satisfying than anything we could ever create on our own. Okay? God wants to bless us. Hebrews 13, 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Okay? God has a good plan. When we follow His plan, there's blessing. When we don't follow His plan, there's heartache. Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team. I know Pastor Matthew's a Cubby fan, so just give me some grace right now here. Pittsburgh Pirates Faith Night recently, they had 10,000 people stay after the Pittsburgh game to listen to the manager share his story. The Pirates manager, Clint Hurdle, age 58, said these words to 10,000 people. I am a fallen man. I've had two failed marriages. I lived for myself for 40 years. I finally put my faith in Christ, and I asked Jesus to take control. I know in this room there's a lot of heartache with marriages. What I want to remind all of us, whatever your history is, as the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates says, this is how I live life upside down, and here are the consequences that I've gone through. And I finally come to Christ. God's plan is good. How is it good? First of all, it's physically good. Let me tell all of you, enjoy your spouse. When you are faithful to your spouse, you are doing what God has called you to do. You are safe physically from diseases. The Song of Solomon in the Bible, my men's Bible study on Wednesday morning, I gave them an open shot at telling me what book of the Bible they wanted me to study starting coming up, and somebody wrote Song of Solomon. I go, oh my goodness, that would change Denny's bar for good from that one, I tell you. That's where we have our Bible study, by the way. I'm not sure I'll do that, but anyway, God's plan is physically good. Number two, it's emotionally good. In the context of a marriage commitment, emotionally, there is security, there is safety, there is acceptance, there is mutual care without guilt. The upside-down world philosophy brings nothing but emotional scars. Shame, deadening of your conscience, going through the motions, no big deal. There's a power movement or control of one over the other. It is not something that you share with a life partner. It is emotionally damaging. Chip Ingram in his book says these words, "Satisfying sex is built and thrives in a safe and loving environment of vulnerability, trust, and serving one's partner rather than focusing primarily on what one can get." God's plan brings emotional healthiness. Third, it brings mental goodness. Your mind is focused on your spouse. Your thought life is where it belongs. You have mental health. Adultery and unfaithfulness brings mental anguish, turmoil. People that have realized their names are going to be on this Ashley Madison scandal. There's a pastor down in the South that was unfaithful to his wife, and he knew his name would be on the list. And he commits suicide this last week. You cannot tell me that when you go upside down in your thinking in this whole area, that somehow mentally and emotionally you're going to be a healthy person. You're going to be a wreck. And you will have mental images that will never leave you. Philippians 4:8 says, think on what is pure. Think on what is honorable. And God knows what's good for our mental health. We're spiritually in a good place. It pleases God. Did you know when he said all this in Genesis, it says he blessed them. Did you catch that in the scripture? He blessed them. God wants to bless us. When you start becoming unfaithful, you're lying, you're rebelling against God, you're hardening your heart, you have a life of secrets, you're living in an attitude of a lack of self-control, you have a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of hardness. I'll do what I want. Nobody can tell me what to do, and especially God. That spirit can destroy your life. I want to tell you, God's plan is good. And when you follow God's plan, you will see good things happen. Number three, let me share with you very quickly that God's plan also needs to be guarded. It's not only good, but it needs to be guarded. You need to figure this out, that guardrails are good. Guardrails are good. Try to imagine with me a fire, okay? The gift that God gives to us in marriage is like a fire. When it is where it belongs in a fireplace, it brings warmth and heat and light and blessing. But when that fire gets outside of where it is designed to be, it is dangerous and it is out of control and it destroys. Anybody know the destruction of the forest fires recently? Knows this truth. And so God gives us this gift. He says, now you need to make sure it stays where it belongs. You need to, first of all, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart is the center of your passions, the center of your desires, the center of what matters to you. And you need to guard that. Remember that breastplate of righteousness you're going to put on in the armor of God. Malachi chapter 2 says this, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. And so you need to make a decision. Am I going to put a guard around my heart and protect the desires of my heart? Number two, you need to guard your body. Job 31:1. Job has all these people telling him what he's done wrong with his life, and his friends telling him he's messed up here and there. He's trying to figure it out, and he kind of goes back to some basics. In Job 31, he says, let me tell you how I've lived my life. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? And the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh in 1 John. And Jesus talks about it in Matthew 5, that when you lust after someone in your with your eyes, it's like committing adultery already. You need to understand this, men especially, a huge temptation. Because God has created us to have a desire for women visually. Understand that. God has given that to you for your wife. And you need to guard your eyes. You need to protect your eyes. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor and in, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. When you go that direction, what you're saying really is, God, I don't know you. God, I'm going to live like I don't know you. I don't know your word. I don't know your desires. I don't have a relationship with you. And this is what it looks like when you don't have a relationship with God. You go after the physical things of the world and you ignore what he has said. Research has shown that 40% of the men visit pornography sites regularly. I mean regularly. But did you also know that 1/3 of the victims of sex trafficking are used in pornography? So 1/3 of the women that are being taken pictures of that you might think is an innocent activity, 1/3 of them are slaves. Somebody has stolen them from their families and are using them and abusing them. It's someone's daughter. The Ashley Madison scandal, we see people like the Josh Duggar and others, that the destruction. So please take note of this one website I want you to look at as men and women. It's called purelifeministries.org. And would you please take a look at that? It has all kinds of help, and I know this is a devastating thing in many marriages. Maybe you're not even able to talk about it. Get on this website and read the stories and read the testimonies and get the help, because there is help available. You don't have to live that way. And let me just say in conclusion, we need to guard our marriages. Next week, the sermon's going to be on how to stay pure in an impure world. It's like we're walking through garbage every day, and we got to figure out, how can I stay pure in my heart and my mind? We're going to dig a little deeper into that. Let me just close with one last quote. 2009 Time Magazine. This was Time Magazine. Caitlin Flanagan said these words about marriage. There is no other single force causing as much measurable hardship and human misery in this country as the collapse of marriage. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for our own marriages. We need to pray for our culture that has totally gone upside down, and we need to come back to what God's word says. Please bow with me in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for those in this room that have gone upside down in their thinking. There might be some in this room that have been unfaithful to their spouse. Their marriages have been all wrong and upside down. They know the truth of the damage of their choices. Or some in this room that have gone into the addiction of pornography, that Satan has grabbed a hold of their minds. You have called us to be the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness and there is grace and there is mercy. We thank you that you are here to help us find your good plan. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would do a work of cleansing in this room, a work of purifying that only your Holy Spirit can do. We ask for a spirit of repentance and revival in this church, that we would no longer follow the upside-down thinking of relationships in this world, that we are going to be committed with a covenant with you today to be right side up. Lord God, would you heal marriages that are broken today? Would you help men and women to treat each other with respect and love and value? And Lord God, I thank you that this is a very good plan that you've given to us. For you are a good God that loves us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.